Professionalism versus Simplicity. Elms Haven, St. Helena, California, October 20, 1902. Surgery. Dear brethren, last night I seemed to be in the operating room of a large hospital to which people were being brought, and instruments were being prepared to cut off their limbs in a big hurry. One came in who seemed to have authority and said to the physician, "Is it necessary to bring these people into this room?" Looking pityingly at the sufferers, he said, "Never amputate a limb until everything possible has been done to restore it." Examining the limbs which the physicians had been preparing to cut off, he said, "They may be saved. The first work is to use every available means to restore these limbs. What a fearful mistake it would be to amputate a limb that could be saved by patient care. Your conclusions have been too hastily drawn. Put these patients in the best room in the hospital and give them the very best of care and treatment. Use every means in your power to save them from going through life in a crippled condition, their usefulness damaged for life." The sufferers were removed to a pleasant room, and faithful helpers cared for them under the speaker's direction, and not a limb had to be sacrificed. Publishing in the South. Other scenes passed before me. I was in a room where a number were assembled in council. Brother E.R. Palmer was presenting the ideas that small local presses were not needful and were run at great expense. He said that he thought that all our bookmaking should be done at one publishing house at one place and thus save expense. There was present one of authority, and after making some inquiries, he said, "These smaller printing offices can be managed in a way that will make them a help to the work of God if sufficient attention is given to them. In the past, great lack of principle has been brought into the management of our book work, and this experience will be repeated unless men's hearts are thoroughly converted, thoroughly changed. There are some who have been converted, but the work that God desires to see done on hearts is not yet all done. Those who form yokes for the necks of their fellow beings will, unless they repent, be brought to the place where they will understand how these yokes bind and gall the neck of the wearer. Let the Southern field have its own home-published books. Selected books from the Old and New Testaments can be published in separate volumes with simple explanations and inexpensive illustrations. In addition to these books, there can also be published some illustrated books suitable for school children. These books will be a great help in the work in the South. The publication of these books can be done acceptably in the Nashville office. The work of this institution is not to be limited to the publication of the Gospel Herald and a few children's books. But let not the workers try to embrace too much. The books especially designed for the Southern field are not to be pushed in the North unless there is a real demand for them. There is a need of better understanding of the work to be done in the heart, mind, and character for the workers in our institutions in the North as well as in the South. Let those in our Northern institutions lay aside their prejudices, and let these in the South humble their hearts before God, and then there will be a sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The workers need to wear the yoke of Christ and to blend together in love and unity. The Lord will bless and strengthen them as they do this. His people are to depend on Him alone, walking before Him in all humility of mind. There is need in the Southern field of a publishing house for the publication of the truth for this time, but this work cannot be done with divided minds and divided interests. In order for the publishing house at Nashville to be made a success, the workers must have a constant sense of the supervision of God, and they must be subject to one another. The converting power of God is needed. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Be very careful how you treat the Lord's heritage. Each worker is to be drawn to the other by the cords of Christ's love. There is no need of their being estranged from one another. They are all embraced in Christ's prayer that the disciples might be one with him as he is one with the Father. Neither pray I for these alone, Christ said, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. Will you do all in your power, my brethren, to answer this prayer? In the work at Nashville, there has been a departure from avowed principles and plans of work. Great evils have resulted. The Lord would have saved from all this if the workers had prayed more and had walked humbly with God. It will never answer for these mistakes to be repeated. They must stand as warnings against deviations from the plain path marked out for us by God. And how shall we treat those who have erred? Let those who have had experience and who have passed over the ground show sympathy for those who have done this unadvised thing.